Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal with hosts Meredith DeFrancesco and Amy Brown. Today we will be talking with Jack McKay of the Bangor Area Central Labor Council and workers from the recently shut down Saucony shoe plant in Bangor. We talked with Jack McKay of the Bangor Area Central Labor Council as an economic stimulus last month, as an economic stimulus package was being considered by Congress. We were talking about the inability of laid-off workers in Maine to keep up with health insurance payments, the inadequacy of their benefits, and the inadequacy of the federal government's response to the needs of workers. Maine has seen the continual closure of production plants as production is moved out of the country. Dexter Shoe in Dexter closed its last plant this December 28th, moving production to China. 560 people lost their jobs. 110 people lost their jobs last week when the Saucony shoe plant in Bangor, Maine, moved its production to China as well. Workers collected their final paychecks today. We have with us in the studio Jack McKay, and soon we'll have some of the Saucony workers joining us on the phone line. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you.
So before we talk with the workers, would you like to give us in a nutshell what the situation is now?
Great, thanks. Congress is going to reconvene January 23rd, and the first thing on their table, according to a number of reports, is the economic stimulus package. Senators Snow and Collins have really trumpeted a plan that they have, which we think is very poor for workers. The most important thing at this point for the 1,000 workers who are laid off right now in the greater Bangor area is health insurance and increasing the unemployment benefits. And this is after talking to workers and doing, dozens of house calls and talking to literally hundreds of workers. So we think it's very important that the senators hear from us, and we're in the middle of an organizing effort to really make democracy work. It's as simple as that.
Great. And we know that the stimulus package will be revisited when Congress reconvenes. And do you want to touch briefly on what the difference is between Collins and Snow's, the bill they might maybe supporting and the alternative?
Sure. And this is very much a case where the devil's in the details. On the competing proposal, which passed the Senate Finance Committee, is actually voted against by Senators Snow and Collins on November 14th. It would entail that the workers, to pay their COBRA, which is their health insurance payments — you have a right to continue health insurance after you've been laid off, provided that you pay 102% of the premiums. So for workers in Passanunkig and Costigan, that's $800 a month. For Saucony, that's $700 a month. For Dexter, that's $530 a month. With unemployment benefits at roughly $250 a week, this is impossible to do. So the Senate finance plan was that workers would pay 25%, which on $700 is roughly $175, directly to the health insurance company. The health insurance company, in turn, would get the remaining 75% from the federal government. So the worker's responsibility is to write the check, and that's it. And the health insurance company is required to provide the health insurance. Very simple. No new regulations. For the Snow-Collins plan, however, which they are trumpeting is immediately responding to workers, it's smoke and mirrors. The reality is very different. Workers have to go down to the unemployment office, fill out forms, prove that they've made their COBRA payments, their health insurance payments, and then wait for the check from the federal government. And I'd like to talk a little bit later about an interchange that we had with Senator Snow last week, which was very interesting. But
we might get a chance to right now, actually, because we're still waiting for the phone lines to connect. So go right ahead, if you would.
Well, it was very interesting because this was a concrete example of how democracy, is effectively working now, and also how it can work. Senator Snow was having a roundtable discussion on security issues and also her economic stimulus plan. as well as which entails jobs and the layoff benefits. I went there along with the vice president of the Central Labor Council, Roxanne Munksgaard, and an intern. Now, at this roundtable discussion, there were the mayors from all the surrounding communities of Bangor, the chiefs of police and fire, as well as people from the hospitals, St. Joe and Eastern Maine Medical. Basically, the issue for those folks around the table was they had incurred extra costs, they'd spent extra money due to September 11th for the police that beefed up security. For the hospitals, there was work on their decontamination facilities, as well as creating facilities to handle hazardous biochemical attacks, etc. So the number one issue for folks there was not getting money from the federal government. The only people there speaking for progressive issues or working class issues were myself and two other people. That was it. So, and we were the bearers of bad news. People were very happy. They were sort of laughing and joking about how they're going to get money from the federal government. And then towards the end of the meeting, Senator Snow talked about how great her economic stimulus package was. So at that point, we raised our hands. I raised my hand. And it began to have a conversation with the senator. She tried to basically shift the discussion to people who are COBRA ineligible. And those are people who have not worked at the plant for a year. And we had to keep her back on the subject. And what basically happened was is she said that, it's very easy for people to get their unemployment benefits, or the COBRA payments. All they have to do is go down to the unemployment office and apply for it. And I said, well, how does that actually work? Do they have, pays? Checks, voucher checks that they're going to write out to people when they get to the unemployment office? And how do they know at the unemployment office whether or not somebody's made their health insurance payment? Well, Senator Snow couldn't answer that except to say, well, the regulations haven't been made, which really caused a silence in the room because it was clear that what she was asking is for workers to trust that the federal government was going to send the money immediately. And to say this with a straight face in front of a room full of the elected leadership and powerful people in the Bangor area is something that's possible was absolutely absurd. So being an astute politician, she changed her position and said, this is something we would consider. So, and I'd like to talk later about, Senator Collins is doing a meeting tonight, as well as what we're doing on Tuesday. But I believe Jeanette's on the line.
Wait, so. Yeah, Jeanette is on the line right now. Jeanette, can you hear us?
Jeanette? Okay. Jeanette, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Thanks for joining us. We have Jack here in the studio with us, as you probably heard.
Hi, Hello, Jeanette.
Jack.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great.
Jeanette, can you say a little bit about who you are and what your interest is in all of this?
My name is Jeanette Seeger, and I was just laid off from Saucony. Here in Bangor, which is a shoe factory, and I was employed there for 21 years, and now I find myself without employment.
What happened to the jobs at Saucony?
Well, we were told that everything has gone overseas, so they had to close our factory down here.
Overseas, to China specifically, right?
Yes.
Right. And 110 people lost their jobs in... That was last week.
Last week, no. There was, I think it was like 63 or 64 of us, because there was some that had gotten laid off in November.
I see. So. Had you had any notice at all? Or?
Well, we were the last crew there, so we worked the, what they call the closeout notice, which was a two-month notice.
Yep.
60 days.
Can you help people get an idea of what it is like to be laid off at this point with the economy as it is and shoe plant relocating all the time, so the sort of work becoming harder to find and you find yourself in, and I know that you have specific concerns about health insurance and ability to pay that. Do you want to just give us an idea of what it's like right now?
Well, for one thing, it's very scary. I'm going to be 53 years old, and jobs are not as easy to find when you're, you know, older. And I've been working at this company for 21 years, so for me to find, you know, if I wanted to look for another job in the shoe industry, that doesn't hold much hope for me because all the shoe industry is closing down. Everywhere you see, they're closing factories down in the state of Maine. Right now, my husband is also unemployed, so it's, you know, that's even scarier because, you know, getting our, you know, getting my unemployment started and everything, and then I'm on medication, you know, 3-4 kinds of medication that I have to take every day, and I have a problem with my blood, and then they have to do blood work, so I'm in need of blood tests all the time, and my insurance is going to be running out the 10th of next month. I won't have no more medical insurance whatsoever. And
Jeanette, do you think that the politicians and the CEOs of the companies and the people who have power over these things are hearing your concerns? Do you think they have any idea of what it's like to be in your shoes right now?
No, I really don't. I don't see how anybody that earns a six-figure income could have any idea what it's like to not have a job and not be able to pay for medical insurance and living paycheck to paycheck. I don't see how they could understand what a regular worker has to go through. That's something you'd have to live it in order to understand it.
So you won't be having any health insurance at all right now then? Is that what it
means? Right now I still have my health insurance. It's still good until February 10th.
But after that?
After that I will no longer have any medical insurance.
Because you won't be able to afford it with the
I can't afford $700 a month for payment for what it would cost me for my family, for my husband and myself.
If you... go ahead.
Well, I just want to clarify something that Jack was saying earlier and get your input on this too, Jeanette. You're saying that what people would have to do if they followed the proposed plan is they would have to pay out of pocket their insurance and then wait for the government to reimburse them. And all of this on a $250 a week check from
my check's not going to be $250 a week.
So, yeah, $250 is like the upper limit.
It's under $200.
So wow. You have to pay your insurance and then just wait for this check from the government in the meantime, survive somehow?
I don't even get enough money to pay the medical insurance. With my check, what I'm getting for unemployment check, I wouldn't even have enough money with just my unemployment check to cover my medical insurance. That's not counting my living expenses.
Right.
And my rent and my food and my, you know, fuel and all that stuff.
Mm. And if you could share with us, because you were saying earlier that, and refresh my memory on this, is that you pay 10% of your medication, and how much does that cost?
10% of my medication for just myself.
Mm-hmm.
If I get a month supply, it's $12 a prescription. If I get a 3-month supply, it's $24 a prescription. So you figure if I have 3 prescriptions to fill, that's $75.
Mm.
And if my husband has 3 prescriptions to fill, that's another $75. That's $150 out of pocket money. That's just 10% of what my prescriptions cost. If I had to pay the full amount, it would be, you know, astronomical. There's just no way I could have my medical, my medicine, and the medicine that I'm on, I cannot be off. I have to take it every single day. And the medicine that there's one medication that I have to take once a week. And my husband's medication that he's on, he has to take every single day.
Mm.
It's not something he can just not take.
Mm. So that totals $150 a month. So without the health insurance, that's $1,050.
That's $150 for a 3-month supply.
Okay.
But once my insurance runs out, I have to pay out-of-pocket money for my medical, my prescriptions,
right.
And it's going to be a lot more than that.
Mm.
It could be, I know one of my husband's things is $44 a piece for one, he's on an inhaler, and it's $44 a piece for one inhaler, and that doesn't even last him a month.
Huh.
So you can see the difference as far as the prices go.
And I'm curious, on the wages that you received at Saucony, and I'm sure this is true with everybody, were you able to save up a lot of money to take care of these things?
No.
No?
No, we were living from paycheck to paycheck, you know, meeting our bills.
Because I think I was told that the pay at Saucony was about, what, $8, $9 an hour?
Yeah, but when you work been an employee for 21 years and you're making $8 an hour, that's not a lot of money.
No.
Right.
For 21 years of service, if you stop and think about it.
No. I think a living wage in Maine is something like $14 an hour.
Right. And I was earning more money when I was a peace worker than I am as a, you know, a regular, you know, when they took our peace work away from us.
Mm-hmm.
I lost, you know, $2-$3 in my, you know, per hour.
So what have they told you? Because you've there's been some displaced workers programs that you've gone through. What's going to happen when your insurance runs out?
My medical insurance?
Right.
I don't have any medical insurance. There's no way I can afford to pay for COBRA. I mean, COBRA would be available to us, but I don't have $700 and some odd to pay for that per month.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that money.
And what have they told you you can do?
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I've got to see if I can find some help from someplace. I have no idea. This is just something that I'm starting to do now, trying to figure out, you know, where the help's going to come for me to get, you know, and this is just prescription medication. I'm not even talking about if I get hurt or if my husband gets hurt or if we get ill and we have to go to the hospital or, you know. I'm just grateful that I had medical insurance when I went through what I went through last year. Because if I hadn't, I'd really be in a boat.
Jeanette, if you could give a message to Collins or Snow or the Congress right now, what is it that you feel would be able to help you and other people like you?
I think first and foremost is that they need to be honest. They need to tell us exactly what's going on and not try to sugarcoat everything to cover up for what they're doing. And I think they need to start supporting the people of Maine. If they're supposed to be working for the people of Maine to help the people of Maine, and if they're they're doing that, then they need to support whatever. If they're fighting for a bill or whatever they're fighting for to help that will benefit the people of Maine, the people that have been laid off, the people that are out of work, then that's what they need to pass that bill if that's going to help us, and not have them vote against it.
And you're one of many workers that are in the same boat, Jeanette. Are you all pulling together and trying to organize yourselves to address some of these issues?
We're trying to. We went to we're getting informed and trying to get information as to know what to do, what we need to do as individuals to help ourselves in order to help, you know, get this stuff done.
And I just want to, you know, really hit on one point to be, that the folks really know about this. What you're saying, Jeanette, is that, you know, here we are in the richest country in the world. you're looking at, you know, your shoe plant has shut down. And this is this, and I'm sure this story is the same for the 1,000 other workers. You're looking at, you know, it's absolutely impossible to pay $700 for health insurance on $1,000 unemployment benefits.
And it's not even $1,000.
Yeah.
You get unemployment benefits, say I was getting $200 per week unemployment benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That's only $800 a month. My medical insurance is $700 plus, what do I live on?
Absolutely impossible. And you have
and
you have prescription medication, which literally you and your husband, your life depends on it.
Yes.
And with people coming in, and I saw there was a representative, Senator Snow, and I saw there was a representative, Senator Collins, at the meeting, as well as other people from the state, and they could tell you nothing to do come February 10th. They couldn't advise you on any sort of plan.
No.
So you're in a life-threatening situation, and they're being of zero help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Basically, that's exactly what's happening.
And
they have no understanding of what is really happening to the people of Maine. They say they do, but they don't.
And I'm sure there's dozens of people around the Bangor area who are also facing a life-threatening event. And Jeanette, have you seen anything about this on the news or in the newspapers?
I haven't read...
Jeanette, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My call waiting is beeping. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
And it always happens when I'm on the phone.
Of course.
I haven't seen anything on the news about the fact that they even closed our plant down. There was a little something when we had the first layoff, but nothing has been mentioned about our, you know, the other works that have been laid off because of the plant closing. You know, this is not something that we're only off for a couple of weeks here. This plant is no longer here. It's as of now, as far as we're concerned right now, they're not going to call us back in 2 weeks and say, you can come back to work, your job is back. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
You know, so I have to find something else that will pay me at least the amount of money that I was earning there, with some semblance of medical benefits that I can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, can you say a little bit more about where these jobs go and the connections with globalization in two sentences or less? No, I know it's a long subject, but
And I want to make sure that we tell folks about what's going on tonight.
Right, right. Just want to make sure we make that connection.
Is and Jeanette, I actually heard from somebody at Saucony that there is a group of Chinese businessmen who recently, in the past year, there's a group of something like 8 who stood there and watched workers do every step of the job and wrote down what those processes were. Were you able to see that also? Or
no, I can't really say that. I knew that there was Chinese, there were men there, but they weren't in my area of where I was working. So.
Okay, yeah. You know, it was quite a story. And now the Dexter shoe jobs are going to China. They're actually shutting down their jobs. Their plant, the Dexter plant in the Dominican Republic, because that's too expensive, and moving the jobs to China. It's interesting to note that both Senators Snow and Collins voted for permanent normal trade relationships with China, which sort of stabilized the trading relationship with China so that more and more of these jobs are going there. And I find it pretty hypocritical that Bush is able to get up and say that trade creates jobs, and Senator Collins said about a month ago that the lowering of trade barriers has created thousands of jobs in Maine. And I think it's just extremely, extremely sad that we have one of the highest elected people in our state who's able to say something that's so false that thousands of jobs are created in Maine because of a trade, at the exact time that we've lost 1,000 jobs in the Bangor area because of trade.
Just
Dexter,
in Bangor area.
Saucony, Passadumke, Costigan will all be certified to have shut down and moved because of trade. And Collins is able to make these statements, which are just simply false, and she's able to get away with it. I mean, it makes me a little bit upset with the way things are going.
Well, this is why I said, that first and foremost is that we need honesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that, they expect people to be honest, and we have a right as U.S. citizens to demand honesty from our government.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the larger picture, too, and just to touch on something you touched on before, also was the money. You were using the example of the airline industry, where money is not going to the workers, it's going to the corporations.
Bail out the CEOs.
And again,
that's
so right. I think before you're talking about, where there's a will, there is a way.
Absolutely. And what you're talking about,
have been
Meredith,
a concern with. I know some workers at the meeting that I was at this morning.
That's right. After September 11th, they passed a bill for $15 billion for the airline companies and not a penny for the 140,000 workers who lost their jobs. But, echoing what you said, Jeanette, about honesty, I think we've got to ask our senators. Senator Collins is going to be at the Peaks Auditorium tonight at 6 o'clock. That's Bangor High. And we should go out, and I invite people to go out and talk to her and ask her this question. What are people, and there's hundreds in the Bangor area, like Jeanette, to do in this life-threatening situation? What is going to happen? And why doesn't she support this bill? And why does Senator Collins oppose a 15% increase in the unemployment benefits, which has lost so much in several years? We're also going to have a rally on Tuesday, January 22nd at 12:30 in front of the federal building, where as a community we're going to stand up and, this is our country. And the proposals they're having go through are not good for workers in our community. 77% of Snow Collins' proposal goes to corporations in the top 25%. And people are standing up and saying, this is our country, this is a democracy, and this isn't going to be a good thing for us. And so, again, January 22nd, 12:30 in front of the federal building, people should come to help support workers like Jeanette, as well as the 1,000 other workers, and that could be us one day. If you've got questions, please give me a call, or you're willing to help, at 945-3917. Jack McKay, again, that's 945-3917. We need lots of help. We can use volunteers. We can use any kind of help that people can give us, because this is globalization striking a body blow in our backyard, a body blow to our neighbors, to our relatives, to our friends, and it's time that we stand up and did something about it.
Yeah. So that's the Greater Bangor Area Central Labor Council and workers from Saucony and
Dexter and Pascumkeg and Costigan, and we're all going to come together, and this is a community educational piece.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jeanette.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Life as you and me, says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never. In Salt Lake Joe, by God, says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I ain't dead. Says Joe, but I ain't dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, and smiling with his eyes, Joe says what they forgot to kill when on to organize, when on to organize. I dreamed I saw Joe here last night.
And that was Pete Seeger with Joe Hill. And Jack McKay would like me to mention one more time that there will be a rally and speak out Tuesday, January 22nd at 12:30 in the afternoon in front of the Federal Building on Harlow Street in Bangor. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown.
And I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
We'd like to thank our guests today, Jack McKay and Jeanette Seeger. We'd also like to thank Helen York for engineering, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com, and you can listen to archived Radioactive programs at www.freespeech.org/RAN or at Maine Indie Media, which is maine.indymedia.org. Join us again next Thursday, and stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now!